So vision. Vision is something from God in your spirit. It does not go away. Kathy and I had a call of missions before we were ever married. She, when she was a little girl, would hear things about Africa. Back then, if you went were a missionary, you always went to Africa for some reason. That's how it was. You always said, oh, I don't know if I want to go to Africa. You know, God's called me to missions, but oh, I don't know if I want to go to Africa. But that's always how it was. Well, of course, in our experience, we have been all over the world. We found out it's not just Africa. It's Central America, it's South America, it's Europe, it's our own country here. It's Africa, it's Asia, it's Australia. Never been to Antarctica. Maybe I can go to Antarctica sometime and preach to the penguins. That way I can say I was in every continent of the world. But there are people down there, you know. But I don't know if I ever get to go there this side of heaven. So vision is something that will not go away. So from a little girl, and then we met, and I always had that kind of longing in my heart to travel and to do things. So when we met, we found out we both had the same calling, had that same vision from little on up. And so we got married and had a good life and still have a good life. Should I say anything more? No, I won't say anything. Yeah, don't give away our secrets. I'll give you one secret. From the beginning of our marriage, we decided we're not going to argue. And we haven't. That's what our counselor told us. Our counselor said, agree to disagree. We don't always agree. But that doesn't mean, if we don't agree, that doesn't mean we have to fight about it. See, every time I fight and we argue, that's selfishness. He told us there's three sides to an argument. There's my side and her side, and then the right side. There's a lot of wisdom in that. Wow, you got quiet on that one. So our call to missions. So we got married, we went to Rhema. And every time they had something about missions in Rhema, I would be there crying. So what's going on? You know, we knew we were called to missions, and it was just being confirmed over and over again. That's what you have to do. Yes. When you know you have a certain vision in your heart, then you have to prepare for it. We prepared for it. We prepared for it by going to Rhema and learning the Word of God and learning about missions and things like that. You have to prepare for it. Yes. No matter how small you think that is, you still have to prepare for it. If you have a vision to work in this congregation, how do you prepare for that? Come to church. Absolutely. Get involved. That's how you prepare for it. And that's how you then get involved and you begin to see it fulfilled in your life. And it's amazing what happens when we obey those kind of things. All of a sudden we look around and we're content and we say, oh man, this is great. And you see that things are being fulfilled in your life. And then God even takes you further than what you ever thought you were going to be. Amen. So I appreciate each person that's involved in each person who is a part of this congregation. And I know together, good things are going to happen. Yes. So it is the ability to see something beyond where you are now. Vision. When we were at Rhema, we hadn't traveled. Well, we did travel in 1974. We went to Italy. Remember Full Gospel Businessmen? Well, we got filled with the Holy Ghost in 1974, and that fall they had what they called a like where a whole group of them went to another country, an airlift. They call it an airlift, and so it was all these businessmen and some ladies as well, and we decided to go along for some reason. We were just naive. We had never traveled to a mission field or anything like that, and so we went to Italy. It was amazing. I didn't realize that businessmen could even be Christians back then. I'm kind of kidding. Kind of like that. And all of a sudden, I see these businessmen. I mean, you talk about successful businessmen. Like Earl Prickett in Philadelphia had a big businessman, big business, and different ones. And so we observed them. Well, stand by. So we were out in the streets of Bologna, Italy, one day. in these Bologna, Italy, North Italy. Yeah, I don't know if they eat a lot of bologna or not. But so we were just kind of along to observe. It was amazing because we saw this group of businessmen. They would just go up to people, I guess, as the Lord led them. And they went up to this one lady and started talking to her. The next thing I know, they're praying for her to be filled with the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
I guess she was saved. This was an Italian lady. Right out in the street. I was like, what?
You can do that?
Yeah. We learned that we can do things like that. You know, the greatest miracles in Jesus' ministry happened in the middle of chaos.
That's right.
Did you ever know that? I mean, when the woman with the issue of blood, she was pushing through the crowd. It was chaotic. And we think that Randy has to lead us in worship for half an hour before we're going to see a miracle. And we might. And we believe for that if people come in here.
Yes.
But the miracles actually happen out when we go out. And we're led of the Spirit, you pray for people. That's where the miracles happen.
Yes.
Well, that went over real big.
Good.
So on that trip, so this lady, I mean, this we saw a few things before when we got first filled with the Holy Ghost at our Bible study. We saw some awesome things in our Bible study. I know I'm telling stories, but I'm remembering of the goodness of God. We did a drama play. I was co-writer in this drama play, and that we took the different churches and people got saved and stuff like that. And so I was the director. And so we were meeting at this house for a Bible study every Tuesday night. Things happen on Tuesday night for some reason. But every Tuesday night we would meet there, and the place was packed out, Paul. I mean, people just packed out, and we'd have times of worship and just awesome times. We'd see miracles. We'd see people healed. So we decided to do this drama in the backyard of this house. And probably about 200 people came, something like that maybe. And we had chairs and we had a stage and everything. And it was pouring down rain where we were supposed to start.
Unacceptable.
Yeah, exactly. I remember we were in the basement of the house, because that's where we went out to the yard. And we were praying and we were like, what should we do? And people were there. They were there with their umbrellas and stuff. And the stage wasn't covered. So he said, okay, we're going to do it. We're going to believe God and we're just going to do it. I went out through the rain. As soon as my foot hit the platform, the rain stopped. I'm serious. I mean, you say, that's crazy. And it was a time when the field beside us was filled with corn. And you could hear the rain pouring in the cornfield. And people who came late, they couldn't believe. Because they said, it's pouring rain down the road and it's not raining here. That night was a night of miracles more than one way. There's preachers came from that night. It's amazing. The play was over. I stepped off the platform and the rain came back. I believe here at Abundant Life, our name is Abundant Life. So we are taking Abundant Life and giving it to other people.
Yes.
Right? And we are going to see miracles, signs, and wonders. I fully believe that. I mean, we've already seen things in the past. But I think there's going to be a greater outpouring because of our obedience to Him, because of our oneness in vision, and because we love people. And the oneness of our vision is to love people. That's the oneness that we have. Loving people is number one. Of course, we know the Word of God. We know that. We know loving God. But if we love God, we'll love people.
That's right.
Because Jesus' ministry was all about people. Now, a few are looking at me and says, well, you've been saying that for weeks. I'm going to continue to say it because it's about loving people. And it's not just loving people here on a Sunday morning. It's loving people wherever we go. because we are the representatives of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
No matter where we are, we're the representatives. We're the hands, we're the feet
yes.
of Jesus Christ. And so when I'm in doing business, or when I'm out shopping or whatever I'm doing, I don't shop, but when I'm out doing all these things out in the public, we're the hands and feet of Jesus. I said I don't shop. I don't. My wife does all my shopping. The only thing she won't buy for me is my shoes, because I have to fit them on. And she doesn't buy a suit for me, because there again, I have to fit it on. Everything else she basically buys, and she's so gracious. She's being the hands and feet of Jesus to me. She'll bring pants home, and she'll bring shirts home, and, it's too big, it's too this and that. And she takes it back, never complains, comes with another set. Anyway, I don't know why I'm saying all that. But vision in our hearts, it is the ability to see beyond where you are now, like in our missions. So we were at Rhema one time. We looked at this video. We were watching videos. And I felt, I actually had a dream that I would go to Africa, Europe, and Asia, I think, in that order. And I thought, okay, well, that's confirming what God has put in our hearts. We didn't really start traveling till the end of the first year. I went with the worship center team to Jamaica. Of course, we had gone to Italy in 1974. And then since then, we have been to every continent except for Antarctica. And we have, and again, I'm not tooting my own horn. I'm just saying that when you have vision that is strong on the inside of you, it won't let you alone.
That's right.
I have gone on trips and come back, and I would say in my mind, I am never going again. Because the traveling part isn't always fun.
Indeed.
But because of what's in here, a couple days later, I'd be outside and I hear a jet go overhead. I says, oh, I got to go again. I got to go again. Yeah, I could be on that. It gives you focus or something to reach for, vision in your heart. Without vision, a person is easily distracted, and you'll be all over the place. You drift from one thing to another, but nothing satisfies. Daily routine becomes meaningless without vision. When I was during Rhema, I was debating, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do with my life? And I was struggling with that because I had business on my mind. I had preaching and teaching the Word of God, which I felt that was going to happen. And then I was thinking about, well, maybe I should go to school to be a lawyer or something like that. And I was grappling with this. And one day there was, and God will talk to you if you're seeking after Him. This is why we were at Rhema. One day, Brother Hagin had a prophecy. And he said, the thing that God wants you to do, it will come up in from your spirit, and it will dominate your life and your thought life. And he said, just lay it down and let God do that. And we did. And of course, the thing that came up the strongest was to preach and teach the Word of God and to be in ministry in that way. So I encourage you the same way. If you're not clear which direction you should go, just give it to the Lord and wait. And wait on Him. Continue to worship Him and wait on Him. And He'll open up the doors for you. And He'll show you. He'll make it strong in your life and show you. It shouldn't be that hard, really, for us to walk in the things that God has for us. Psalm 37, verses 4 and 5, we looked at that before, delighting in the Lord and all that. But you know, in 1 John 5:3, there it says, His commandments are not burdensome. What does that mean? What does that look like? Well, I have found people like I've seen young people at different places like India and some of these places, and they are in Bible school students, and they come up and says, well, I know I'm called to do this. And so they go out and, you know, they try to do it. And then you see him a few years later, and they're saying, oh, it's so hard. I've seen people here in the U.S., pastors and different people, oh, it's so hard. So hard. Oh, my goodness. Man, I don't like these people. So hard. All we have is problems. But the Bible says his burdens are not, his commandments are not burdensome.
That's right.
That tells me that when I'm walking in the vision that God has for me and the calling and the purpose for my life, that it won't be that hard. So I've already told people, I said, well, maybe you're not supposed to pastor. I don't know if I told him that, but indirectly I may have told him. Maybe you're not supposed to pastor.
Burden will crush you.
Because if it gets so hard, are you really called to do it? Because when we walk in the calling that God has for us,
yes.
He'll give us his ability. And we can do it with joy. Doesn't mean we don't have situations or challenges. That doesn't mean that. But even in the midst of that, you'll have joy. You have peace. You know God's working in your life.
Yes.
I think since we're here at Abundant Life, can I just always be honest with you?
Sure.
I think since we're here at Abundant Life, we have a sense of fulfillment that we haven't had for years.
Nice.
It's just how God brought us. We didn't say, okay, we're supposed to. I mean, God spoke to us. He spoke to Donna, and we started talking, and we realized that God's speaking the same thing. But it wasn't like, oh, man, we got to really push our way in and stuff like that. None of that stuff. Because if God is in it,
yes,
and I'm obedient to follow him today in my life, he'll make it come about.
Absolutely.
And then he'll open the next thing and the next thing and the next thing.
Yes.
It's a journey. The fulfillment of vision is a journey. When I first started the business, we didn't have 30 employees right in the beginning. It was a journey. Are you hearing me? Sometimes vision that we have, that I'm talking about a bigger vision in our lives, sometimes it's for a lifetime. It's not all going to happen tomorrow. If I try to make it happen myself like Moses, it got really hard for Moses, didn't it?
Yes.
But it wouldn't have to be that way. Because later on, he didn't want to do it. He gave 3 different excuses of why he can't do it. And God moved mightily through him. Matthew 11, 28 through 30, it says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So if life is so heavy and hard for you right now, take a good look. Take inventory. Take inventory and step back and say, Lord, why? Why is it this way? Am I not going in the direction that you want me to go? Am I not following the purpose or the vision you've put in my life? That's why life becomes so hard. Again, I'm not saying there won't be disappointments, because there will be. It's not if there will be disappointments. There will be disappointments. It's when. But we can overcome these disappointments. Just a few other thoughts, and then we'll close. When you have vision for it to be fulfilled in your life, 1, find out what your passion is. 2, prepare for it. And finding out what your passion is may be a matter of years and maybe many years. But you're still doing what God wants you to do presently today and fulfilling his calling in your life. Prepare for it. Stay in your callings or your giftings. Don't try to do what everybody else is doing. You do what God asks you to do. And don't compare. 4, give it away. Give it away. As a congregation here, as pastor, the vision we have, we're going to give it away. We can't fulfill it ourselves. She had a vision for to be a mother. Well, she couldn't do that herself. Right?
That's right.
I came into her life and the vision was fulfilled. She had to give it away. We give it away. When I started the business, I had to give it away. I had to tell other people and trust other people. I had to let other people get involved. That's what I mean by giving it away. And not try to hang on to it tight and let nobody else be involved. because it's a team. In the fulfillment of vision in all of our lives, it takes a team. It takes a husband and wife to have a family. It's a team. All right? Giving it away. Cannot do it alone. You have to trust people. Every time I trust somebody, every time you trust somebody, then you have a risk involved. The risk is they could mess it up.
That's right.
They could mess it up. But that shouldn't keep us from trusting people. That should not put a fear on the inside of us. Maybe somebody has done something which caused you to lose trust in them. But that should not make us afraid to move forward in what God has called us to do. Number five, embrace new vision, change, and ideas from others. Sometimes it's just me and no one else. But you have to remember, the calling never changes. But maybe the methods that we use to bring it about will change. Are you here? Time brings change. Time does bring change. It may be in a different package than what you think. Be open to God leading us into new areas and new methods. Don't sing that song, "I Shall Not Be Moved." We sing that song, says we won't be moved off the word of God, but I'm convinced some people sing it, "I shall not be moved," on what I'm doing today, and I'm letting nobody else get involved.
That's right.
I mean, we've traveled to different churches, and most churches, a large percentage of churches are small. Did you know that?
That's right.
50 to 100 people. So we're one of them. But we're not one of them where the leadership is saying, "No, we're not going to change anything." Those churches will die.
That's right.
And they are dying today. I know people. I know churches. They're dying. There's no life there. Because they're singing, we will not be moved off the traditions that we have. And those traditions can be charismatic traditions. Are you understanding what I'm saying?
Yes.
All right, I know I have to close. But then number six, there will be disappointments along the way. We make mistakes. People aren't faithful, but don't allow those disappointments to stop your vision. In every congregation, there has been disappointments. In every congregation, there has been hurt. In every congregation in the past years, every congregation experiences where there is hurt between members, where there is not teamwork from time to time, and there is disappointments from what was initially put out. But we are beyond that. We are going beyond that. Amen?
Yeah.
And we will work as a team. And we will be a church that is growing.
Amen.
We will be a church, a congregation that is reaching out to our community. And I am going to, again, share the list here with you. And then we'll close. We're a word preaching church. I'm saying these things in faith. I mean, we are a word preaching church. We don't just have to believe for that. We believe for that in the future. All right? We have a solid foundation in the Word of God because of the previous pastor, because of Bill Hague and other people as well. But we are a word preaching church. We're a Holy Spirit filled church. We will never let down on Holy Spirit.
Right.
We will preach and teach the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
With speaking in tongues. We're a praying church. We're a worshiping church. And worship will flow and will continue to flow. And maybe even change here and there. You know? We're a worshiping church. We're a soul winning church. We're a giving church or a generous church. We're a fellowshipping church. Like I told the men yesterday. You know, when we first came here, it seemed like right after the service, everybody was right out the door. Maybe that was because I preached too long or not. I'm not sure what it was. But everybody, I mean, we noticed this. But now I've noticed in the last number of weeks, people hang around and they're talking and fellowshipping.
Yes.
That's a sign of a healthy church.
Yes, it is.
Sign of a healthy church, and it's happening already. So we're a fellowshipping church. We're a life-giving, ministering church. We're a loving church, and we're a healing church. We will and continue. I mean, we have children's ministry, but our children's ministry will grow.
Amen.
Our youth ministry will grow.
Amen.
Our men's ministry will grow.
Yes. Yes.
Our women's ministry will grow.
Yes.
And everything that we do here, it's going to grow.
Yes. Increase.
And it's not because of me, but it's because of all of us working together, following the Holy Spirit in the vision that He has given to us. Amen?
Yes.
Are you in?
In.
Amen.
Both feet.
Amen. Amen. Father, we thank You. We thank You for the call that is upon this congregation. And Lord, we pray that we would be faithful in walking in it and fulfilling it. And we believe many more people will be brought in to be part of what You have called us to do. We thank You for the Word of God. We thank You for Holy Spirit. And we thank You, Lord, for just a wonderful outpouring of Your Spirit in this congregation. And then as we go out, we will see an outpouring of Your Spirit. You know what? One of the things I like, I said about children's ministry. I love when kids, after the service, I mean, they're running around here and stuff. I love it. That's awesome. That's life. Amen? And we should always bless them.
Yes.
Hallelujah. So let them run. You know, at least we keep it under control, but, you know, just they're having fun. And we should embrace that. And I know we do. All right. I'll just end it here. I got to stop. In the name of Jesus. So God bless you. Thank you for coming. And we'll see you all next week.